Good morning again.
Good morning.
And good morning to everybody joining us online via the live stream as well. Grace, mercy, and peace to you all from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, fear is something that I recall from the time of the Lord. Father, please help us to understand who you are in our lives and to put fear in its proper place for us. Thank you, Father, for revealing to us your glorious Son. Thank you for your revelation to the apostles and their witness. And Lord, thank you for the gift of faith that we have. Help us to go forward in faith, fearing and honoring you above all things. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. How many of you love going on roller coaster rides, or at one point in time loved going on roller coaster rides? I have some people who are shaking their head no. And yet, one of the people shaking their head no lived his life in the Navy, where he was constantly on a roller coaster in that tin can, right? I used to be kind of more of the terrified of the roller coaster camp when I was younger, and I began to love them. But one of the things that I realized is that when you get on the fast roller coaster, even if you're enjoying it, part of you is still terrified because you're still going really fast, and you're completely dependent upon everything working. You are putting your faith and trust in that roller coaster, and the mechanics and everybody who's in charge of checking those roller coasters for safety, you're putting your faith and trust into them. And you're going really fast. And you're screaming. And yet you're having a great time. I was talking to a pastor about this sermon. And one of the things that he reminded me is you know that terrific and terrified have the same root, right? Terrific and terrible do too as well, right? You can be in a moment that's terrifying, and the result can be terrible afterwards. Or it can leave you in awe. And you can be like, that moment is actually quite terrific. If you will. Jesus took with him three of his closest followers. He had many followers, but he had his 12 that we know of. But then he also had, even amongst them, there was three that sometimes got to see certain things that the other ones didn't get to see. And of course, these three are usually Peter, James, and John. And so Peter, James, and John followed Jesus. And the story begins like this in Mark 9. And after 6 days, Jesus took with them Peter and James and John. And they led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And there Jesus was transfigured before them. And his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." If I could spend my life at Disneyland, actually, that would be kind of exhausting. Never mind. But if I could spend more time at Disneyland than I usually do, I would really enjoy that. Because I love I actually haven't been on it. When I'm on it with Space Mountain, I get to go on it with a Star Wars Mountain. But I love that roller coaster. I love Big Thunder Mountain. I love that California Adventure. I guess now it's the Incredicoaster now, I think, but it used to be California Screaming. Because you go on there and you go really fast and you scream and you have a great time. It's good to be there. And Peter is recognizing that this time here, this is even better than a roller coaster. I probably shouldn't even compare being on a roller coaster to seeing Jesus transfigured. This is a glorious moment. And only these three men get to see it for whatever reason. They get to see it. And they're seeing Jesus, Moses and Elijah too. Those were considered to be the two superb prophets of the Old Testament. Sure, there were a lot of good, faithful prophets, but boy, Moses and Elijah just seemed to, as far as the Jews were concerned, they were just a cut above the rest. And there they were, next to Jesus. And Peter is right. It was good to be there. And he wanted the moment to last forever, and yet he wasn't fully understanding and comprehending. Why? The scriptures say he didn't know what to say. For they, not just he, but James and John also, were terrified. Now, I really was stuck on this terrified thing, that this was the focal point for me this week. I looked it up in the Greek, and the word is ekphobia, which means from fear. And I was like, you know, it seems like a lot of times when pastors preach this, this is like the mountaintop experience, and you want to be there, but then you got to bring yourself back down the mountain afterwards. That usually, and you got to go back to work. That's so common for pastors to preach on that. I'm like, this says that they were terrified. And one of the things that sometimes I get asked is, Pastor, I don't really feel like I fear the Lord. I feel like He loves me. I don't feel like I have to be terrified of the Lord. I love Him. And no, these disciples were terrified in the presence of the divine. It was scary, and it was thrilling all at the same time. Because also, in that Greek word for ekphobia is the word awe, right? Have you ever gotten on a roller coaster and said, that was awesome? But this truly was awesome for the disciples. This was amazing for them. They were awestruck and they were terrified. And I know that sometimes we want to separate those emotions. There's a little bit of difference between having a reverent, being reverently holding up somebody and honoring them. Because guess what? Ekphobia can also mean from reverence, too. So, boy, when I watch a really terrible, bad horror film, I'm not honoring the bad guy that's trying to slaughter everybody. He might terrify me, but I'm not honoring that person. God in that divine moment is everything. There's the terror, there's the awe. And why is it that when God shows up throughout the Old Testament and reveals Himself, one of the first things He says is, fear not. Because we are the creation. He is the Creator. He is far greater than we can comprehend. Oh yeah, He is divine and holy. And we're stained in our sinful nature with the sin. Therefore, it takes a full amount of grace for us to even be in the presence of God in His most divine with Him. All His full divinity, for us to even stand present because our works by ourselves cannot give us a place to stand in front of Almighty God. So yes, I think of that popular Christian song. I think there was even a movie about it. I can only imagine. And it's okay if you like that song. But I always think about that in the chorus, like, "Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still?" I think the one where you say you're going to fall down flat, that's what you're going to do until he picks you up and lifts you up and says, "Do not be afraid." That's what's going to happen. Because God is awesome. And again, one of the themes of Mark is this gospel writer is trying to demonstrate that this man that everybody has seen, actually, he is God incarnate as man. And that's why he's able to do all these amazing miracles. And here's this transfiguration that happens where we are seeing this man in full glory talking to two other men that were long ago dead, and yet they're alive. Or with Elijah, we don't, never actually, did he actually die, or did he just get to go to heaven? I don't know. Maybe that's a debate for another time. But I think he probably stayed alive as he went up to heaven. But he was gone for a long time, nonetheless. And there Elijah appeared with Moses and Jesus in the center of them. And they're talking to each other. This Jesus is something special. Finally, though, in this complete moment of terror, because let's face it, when we're afraid, sometimes we just want to act, and we want to do something to make that fear go away. And maybe it's the wrong thing, right? Maybe we're afraid of how we're going to be perceived. Or maybe we're afraid to actually stand firm in our faith because we're afraid that we might be judged by our culture when we're asked, what do we actually believe, right? So sometimes we can do the wrong thing with fear and we can act the wrong way. But we're so afraid that we act, right? We want to do something about it. But the clouds come over the disciples at this time. After Peter gets this idea, let's build three tents. This cloud descends upon them. They can't see Jesus and Moses and Elijah anymore. But they hear this voice, and it's the voice of the Father saying to them, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And the clouds cleared away, and there was Jesus by himself. It happens to all of us. I actually had some pretty tough moments this week looking at this text, under the realization and the conviction that how much earthly fear was just driving a lot of the way that I was acting and relating in this world, how I was feeling about certain things. There's so much, just the burdens of this world. And on other times, we do think about God, and we think about these awesome moments, and we think, what can I do for God out of thanksgiving and reverence? What can I do for him? But sometimes the problem is when we talk about what we want to do for God, we must realize that we can't do anything for God. He's doing everything for us. So what do we do in response to the awesome cure of God? Or what do we do when we realize that we are being human and sinful and being afraid of things in this world, and in that fear not trusting in God? regardless of whether or not you are fearing the world or you are properly, rightly understanding that God is someone we need to be in awe of. And yes, fear Him in reverence and respect. Realize that when God says, "This is my will," hey, that is His will. Period. End of story. You don't get to wiggle out of it. That's His will for you. Yes, we should fear God. But no matter how you are feeling, whether you're in fear of things of this world, a fear of failure, a fear of being injured, a fear of losing a job, a fear of a relationship falling apart, whatever that case is, turn to Jesus. Repent of that fear and look to Christ in faith. The disciples were terrified. And God said, "This is my Son. Listen to Him." And when it comes in response to how we want to react, like, "Yes, Lord, I want to just throw all my trust in God. I've had this moment of clarity, I think, where I'm overcoming some of the burdens of this world. I just feel like I'm going to look to you, or you help me overcome these burdens. I just want to look to you. I want to just, what do you do? This is my beloved Son. Listen to Him." Yes. Don't fear the world. Don't fear what people think of you. Don't fear that God isn't going to give you daily bread. Don't be afraid that God isn't going to meet every one of your needs. Don't be afraid that you are unloved, because you are loved. No matter what. Because God said, "I love you this much," but He died on a cross for you. You are loved. And you are given the gift of eternal life. Just as Moses and Elijah are forever alive and appeared with Jesus, one day we will be fully in the presence of Jesus as well. And you know what? You know what's going to happen? You're going to leave here. You're going to be encouraged by the word, but something's going to happen at some point where fear is going to creep into your life again. But you have a God who graciously loves you and has died for your sins and has rose for you. He's baptized you and has given you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is where it's going to just remind you. Don't fear. This Jesus is the Son of God. Listen to Him. Trust in Him. Proverbs 3. Lean not on your trust in God with your whole heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Trust God. Lean not on your own understanding. Slow down. You don't always need to act. You can pray first. Yes, there is a proper time of fear. If my daughter were to be climbing through a rubbish pile, and there happened to be a black widow spider there, my fight or flight is going to kick in, and I'm going to kill that spider. That's fear in a proper place, right? That's natural. That's part of our fight or flight. That's how God has programmed us to act, right? But there are other times where we're going to fear the bigger picture things too. Things that we don't necessarily have control over. Things that we might need the help of God. Because guess what? God does give us more than we can handle. Life does give us more than we can handle.
And that's why we need our Savior. And that's where we put aside the fear and we trust in Him. And we listen to Him. And we know that our God, who died for us and rose for us, who gives us our daily bread every single day, who will answer our prayers. And yes, He may not perform the miracle that you want right now, but He is with you, working in your life, working on you, working with you through your life. He has not forsaken you. He is with you to the end of this age, and He loves you. So we can listen to Him and trust that it's all going to be okay. Amen? So the peace of God, which is not important, and guarding hearts and minds, keep them from now, the life everlasting.